KSL at night.
Rusty Cannon, do you know what that is?
I remember what that is. Yes, I do.
All right, so let me tell you Deep Track's Leah Murray story. Age 18, 1992, first presidential election. I am always a political nerd. And I had a, you know, TV in my bedroom, which I'm sure... back, it's the equivalent of having a phone today. I'm sure my parents should not have let me have that. And I used to just kind of have like Arsenio Hall on. Does that make sense? In the evening.
Good old okay. Arsenio Hall. Yep.
So I'm like in my room, you know, it's the end of the night or whatever. I'm probably getting ready for bed. And Arsenio Hall, on comes Bill Clinton playing the saxophone. And vivid memory. I want you all to know, listeners, we didn't know anything about him yet. At that point, he was just a governor from Arkansas. He had done nothing wrong yet, as far as we knew, with an intern or anything. But I'm watching that and I thought, oh, I'm voting for him. Because anyone who is so cool that he can wander out on Arsenio Hall and play the saxophone, that's my candidate.
Yeah, it humanized him.
Yeah, and he was interesting, right? Like, you know, and just fun to watch, right? So just... anyway, yeah, so it humanized him, it made him cool, it made him interesting, and a little bit I thought it'd be fun to chat, Rusty, about, I don't know, so I guess the answer is it's all, like, totally it's all a fraud, right? So they are being humanized because they're trying to do
it. Yeah, but the moments that are golden are when it's not planned.
Right,
you know, it's almost accidental, and that's what we're sort of compiling tonight. That was one of them that, I mean, I guess you knew he was going to come out and play the saxophone, but how the reception that you had, that wasn't planned, right?
Right.
I mean, that was
it wasn't
a
scripted.
Natural, yeah, exactly,
right.
Exactly.
So I also like this more recent one, not like 20 years ago, recent, right? Like
slightly
how old
less
am
old.
I, right?
Yeah, slightly less old,
with George W. Bush.
In 1814, Dolly Madison famously saved this portrait of the first George W. Now, Michelle, if anything happens, there's your man.
Yeah. So just in case you don't know the story, they're burning the White House down and Dolly Madison grabs the portrait of George Washington and runs out of the White House with it. I love that image.
Yes.
And then you've got, you know, almost 200 years later when they are revealing George W. Bush's. And I love that. The first George W. I'm the bookend George W. And he looks at Michelle and he's like, your job.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's so golden, and it's also across the aisle, right?
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? And when they can poke fun at each other or at themselves in front of each other, those moments are golden. And I think, you know, they can be priceless. The next one's interesting as well. I think everyone will recognize the voices on this one.
I only saw a few people measuring the drapes while we were here earlier. So this organization, the National Governors Association, represents the very best of America. It harkens back to another time, another era when we did work together across partisan lines.
The governor, he got another round of laughs, clarifying that he was drinking ginger ale and not champagne during the toasts.
So the governor has made a few speeches in D.C. that are where he's kind of poke fun at himself and things. And so then recently he spoke at a gridiron dinner. We don't have a recording of it, but there was something he said that was really, really funny. Let me just read you this quote, and I think I can get it well. He said, it really is such an honor to be at the famed gridiron dinner. You see, they usually don't let farm kids like me into rooms like this. Unless you count January 6th. just rolling laughter. And then he said, and even then, we had to really push and shove our way in, right? Just, and they're continuing to laugh. And they said, here in D.C., you say you smoked but didn't inhale. Well, where I'm from, people say they went to the rally, but they didn't go inside.
I know. And I just, first of all, you've got to be able to laugh at that stuff. And, you know, but the thing I like about it a lot, Rusty, and it's what you just talked about, it's George W. Bush with Michelle Obama. This is Governor Cox, who is a Republican, kind of poking fun at the, I don't know, figurative elephant in the room about, right? Like, there's kind of, but talking about...
Oh, measuring the drapes, right?
Yeah,
all these people here that are governors that are probably, some are going to want to run for president.
All of
and
them are running for president.
Measuring the drapes, like, man, when I get here.
And the best thing about it is Joe Biden, the president, starts a standing ovation and is standing at the end of the standing ovation because it's funny.
Yeah.
Right, Rusty? So A, yes, it humanizes them. And B, maybe it's accidentally cool and then you get an 18-year-old voter who's going to vote for Bill Clinton in 1992. But also I think if we juxtapose it with what we saw at conventions on Saturday,
which
a lot of people are reporting was just kind of mean.
Yeah.
Right, just was mean.
It was ridiculous.
That a little bit what we need is less booing, Rusty, and more laughing. And yeah, I don't mean like, you know, just kind of like that we can disagree on like 10 out of 10 of the most important wicked issues that we are trying to solve. Mm-hmm. But man, we should be able to giggle. Right.
Absolutely.
If someone gives a good speech and it is funny, and if they're poking fun at themselves and laughing at themselves, don't you think that helps kind of build across the aisle conversation? Right.
It does. It does. Let's listen to the next clip we've got.
The top 10 changes I'll make in the White House.
Oh, here you go.
Are you ready?
This is right up your alley.
Yeah. Number 9, new rule at cabinet meetings. You can't talk until you ride the mechanical bull.
So that was George W. on David Letterman. And this was right after he got elected, I should say, in 2000, where he was poking some fun at some great things. And it was, he was making fun of himself. He was making fun of others in a light way, but it was absolutely hilarious. I remember watching this when it was back on then, and it introduced everybody to a different side of him than what had been painted in the, he won the election, obviously, but it just put him in a different light.
No. And I love, first of all, I love his voice. Yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite. There's a recent conversation with him, and I can't remember what think tank has it, so I just am not going to cite it well, but he basically says, look, I think that the press should cover things and I think they should be accurate, right? So he has this really disarming way of throwing like some shade, but you're kind of like, okay, you're not angry about it. And a little bit, right? So he just won an election, super divisive election. I'm just going to tell you, people think we're divided today. 2000 was a divided election.
It was bad. Hanging chads, right?
Yes,
wasn't
the
hanging chads in Florida?
Right. Oh. And Al Gore thinking he won and like maybe he's going to sue. And then you go on Letterman and you make these jokes. Maybe it takes the temperature down a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and Rusty, the thing that made me think about doing this segment with you and having this conversation is that Joe Biden, current president and also current candidate for the Democrats, went on Howard Stern last week.
And she said, oh, that's okay. It's all right. And I said, I got off and the stupid thing to say. I said, you know, I think I'm going to marry you. And she looked at me, my word is Biden. She said, I think maybe.
I love that. So I don't know. I feel like Howard Stern never really played on the radio, you know, in Utah. So maybe you all don't know who he is. He is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wonderful interviewer, though. He's a beautiful interviewer. So when he's being serious and interviewing someone, excellent. And he's asking the president about how he met his first wife, which, if you know the story, is very sad because she dies right when he first gets elected to the Senate in this awful car accident. And he's telling this cute story.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that could be, you know, I don't know, your grandpa telling that story, but a little bit, it's funny, it's cute, it reveals stuff about him that has nothing to do with, you know, funding or the election.
Telling genuine story, I think that's what a lot of people are starving for. I know I'm starving for it, is genuine, right? You know, and telling those, I think it's so often they want to stay on script. They want to hold their hands in the right position. They want to stand in the right, they want to wear the right shoes. They want, you know, or whatever the case may be. It's hard to really do it in an unscripted way, but just that genuineness that I think everybody's craving, I think on either side of the aisle, boy, that would be nice to bring back.
Yeah. Rusty, I wonder a little bit too, we talk about in my political science classes how the presidency has become very personalized. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is people have what they think is a relationship. Really, it's a parasocial relationship, right? Because no one's actually met these people. But they think they're like best buds. The thing about George W. Bush was people would say, I think I could have a beer with him.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and you know, and maybe that's a problem, but I don't know. I think it's a good thing to feel like, you know, like this. Yeah. You know?
Well, I think so many times, whether it's on a debate stage or in unscripted moments like this, votes are won.
Yeah.
And where people say, you know what, I like him or I like her. Right. And when you previously hadn't thought that, and those are, but it's hard for the candidate because you don't want to script those. They have to be natural. But I think a lot of those are when hearts are won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Rusty, this was fabulous.
And it's been
listeners,
a fun day.
This was a fabulous 2 hours, best 2 hours of radio possibly you could be listening to learn everything you know. And if you missed anything, head back out to the KSLpodcast.com website, download our podcast, or, you know, really any place where you get your podcast, just look up KSL at Night, and we will be with you next time.